Good morning. I'm glad to see everybody here this morning. You're visiting with us, and I see that we have a few visitors. We're so glad that you are here. We want you to know that you are an honored guest, and we hope and pray that you will return and be with us any time that you have that opportunity. Friend, there are certain challenges that this life brings. There are certain challenges that we all face. There are certain challenges that are unique to me, maybe that you don't face. And there are certain challenges that are unique to you, maybe that I don't face or come across. But friends, as we think about challenges this morning, I want us to think about the challenges of the Christian life. Things that we all face and things, friends, that we must all concern ourselves with when it comes to the challenges of being a Christian. And friends, let me tell you this morning, and as I've told you before, that before I preach a sermon, I first want to make sure that it applies to me. And this one does this morning. And it challenges me, and I hope this morning that you'll find that this, and I hope that you do, take our sermon and our lesson this morning as a personal challenge to yourself. To grow in the knowledge and faith in the words of Jesus Christ and the Bible that God has placed within our hands and really within our trust to see that it goes into all the world. Friends, as we consider these things this morning, the challenges, friends, of the Christian life, first of all, one of the challenges that we face is striving to be conversant or conversant, however you want to pronounce that word, with the Bible, concerning the Scriptures. You think about what this word actually means, conversant or conversant. It means to be familiar as by study or experience. Now, of course, there are some verses, I'm sure, that come to mind. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, and we think of those particular verses and think of study in that way. Conversant means to be able to converse knowledgeably. To have that knowledge within oneself, to be able to carry on basically an intelligent conversation concerning the Word of God as we consider these things this morning. Turn with me for a moment to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Friends, notice what the Lord says to Joshua here. Moses has passed. Joshua is now the leader, of Israel, leading them now into the land of Canaan. In chapter 1 and verse 8, we read, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth." Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about everything that Moses had just written down for Joshua and the people of Israel. "This shall not depart from your mouth," he says, but you rather shall meditate in it day and night. How often should our thoughts, as it was in Joshua's day, center upon the Word of God? They should never be far. His Word should never be far from our minds. He says, "You shall meditate it upon it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then, you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." You think about that as well as Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, talking about the blessed man, and he's going to meditate again upon the Word of God. Let's look at this particular Psalm in the first three verses. "Blessed is the man, or happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is not in sin," as verse 1 would imply. It's not in sin. It's not in the counsel of the ungodly. "His delight is not in the path of sinners. His delight is not in the seat of the scornful, but rather it is in the law of the Lord. And in his law," God's law, "he meditates day and night." And when he does that, what does he become? Verse 3. "He becomes like that tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Friends, we've mentioned this before. But you know, the members of the Lord's church used to be, and underline, and in our minds underline that phrase, used to be. Because as a whole, we're no longer known this way. We used to be known as walking, talking Bibles. Matter of fact, I'm sure you've heard the anecdote before about being in a court of law before. If they couldn't find a Bible, they found a member of the Lord's church to place their hand upon. Used to be that way. Friends, it can be that way again. If we will study and learn to be conversant with the Bible. I want to give you a test this morning. I know that pop quiz, if you will. Maybe you didn't study last night. I hope that we did. But let's consider these things. Can you name all the books of the Bible? My friend, I've been preaching full time since 2006, and sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes this is a challenge for myself. Naming all the books of the Bible. Can you name each step in the plan of salvation? Now, I'm sure that we can do that, but can you do it with a scripture for each step? What about the chapter containing the first gospel sermon? Or the first 10 verses of the Sermon on the Mount? The Beatitudes. Let's take it a step further. In your mind, do this. We don't necessarily need to answer out loud. But in your mind, identify this verse. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Where's that found? That's Mark 16, 15 and 16. What about this one? Repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 2 and verse 38, is it? What about this one? A little bit tougher. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Friends, that's 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. This one's tougher still. But still a verse that we as Christians need to put in our minds as we talk with others about the Word of God. This verse reads, "Ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only." Where's that one found? Right, that's James 2, isn't it? James 2, verse 24. One more. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you you seek to be justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Friends, that one's found in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4. Now, how'd you do? Were you able to identify those particular verses? Friends, those verses that we have mentioned this morning, and those are just a few of a handful that I believe that we ought to put in our memories as we try to be conversant with others about the Word of God. But you consider for a moment what Hosea recorded in Hosea 4 and verse 6. The people, friends, he said, are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Friends, why is it? And I've pondered this question, as I'm sure many elders and gospel preachers have for a long time. Why is it that in this country, in particular, that Christianity is dwindling? More in particular, the Lord's church. Why is that? Might it be that our people are being destroyed for lack of knowledge? For not being people of the book any longer? For not being able to carry on an intelligent conversation with someone that is in the world concerning the Word of God? That was what was happening in Hosea's day. And it's happening now in ours. We need to strive to be conversant with the Bible. In Amos 8 and verse 11, Amos is talking about, in that particular context, the knowledge of the people and the spiritual food. And he says of them, there is a famine in the land. Friends, is there a famine that's taking place, maybe not necessarily within the congregation at Ninth and Main, but maybe within my household, at home? Am I getting enough to eat Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? Some things for us to ponder upon. What about some examples of those that would become conversant in the Bible? What about Acts chapter 17 and verse 11? You remember Paul had just been in Thessalonica and he goes over into Berea and he preaches unto them the gospel and he writes, it's recorded of what he says there, that the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Not that they were better, but that they searched the Scriptures, it seems, more diligently than those in Thessalonica did. And notice how often they did it. Daily. Now, friends, as you may have thought of before, as you think about Paul's statement here, who was Paul? He's an apostle of Jesus Christ. He's been baptized with the Holy Spirit. He has the power to work miracles, to speak in tongues. He doesn't have to worry about what he's going to say at any given moment concerning the Word of God because it's going to be given unto him. And yet, what did they do with an apostle that stood in their pulpit, so to speak? They searched the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Paul, we understand what you're saying. We hear you, but we want to see for ourselves. We want to see if what you're saying is really true. Friends, that's the attitude that we ought to have. We ought to search for ourselves. You shouldn't take Josh Romo's word for anything. As far as when it comes to the Word of God, don't take my word for it. Open the book. Look at it. Search it. Study it. Because the word search means to scrutinize, to investigate, to interrogate, to examine. In the King James Version, it's translated as discern, examine, judge, to search. Continuing along that line of thought, it means to try to learn the nature or truth of something by the process of careful study, evaluation, and judgment. To examine carefully, to investigate, to study thoroughly. It means to, again, investigate, examine, inquire into, scrutinize, sift, to question. But it's quite simply, we have a need to get back to the book. In 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let's look at these three verses together for a moment. 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. Paul writing to Timothy says, "Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." And then verse 15, if you drop down and you look there, he says, "Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those that hear you." But friends, we've already looked at three different passages this morning that as we're going to strive to be conversant with the Bible, all three of these passages that we've looked at say to meditate upon His Word, upon His law, day and night. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. John 14 and verse 15, Jesus speaking to His disciples says, "If ye love Me, do what? Keep My commandments." American Standard has it there, "If you love Me, you will keep My commandments." 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, John writes concerning along this same idea. He says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." Friends, consider this for a moment, this statement that's on the screen. If you don't know your Bible, you don't know God.
Friends, the Bible is the very mind of God that we are able to hold within our hands, that we are able to open and read. God has revealed Himself to us through His Word, through the Bible. And so, friend, if we don't know the Bible, we don't know God. We must study it. Become familiar with it. Be conversant with it. If we would know our God. Friends, another unique challenge of the Christian life is that we are to be convicted in doctrine. In Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, and really the entirety of that particular chapter, how convicted, as we know them best, as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how convicted were they of their doctrine? Do you realize how they answered the king, the most, at this particular point in time, the most powerful man in all the world? You remember Nebuchadnezzar had set up an image. And all were supposed to, when the music played, you were supposed to bow down and worship this particular image. And these three in particular were caught not doing this. And here we have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're brought before the king. And the king says, I'm going to give you one more chance. Right here in front of me, I'm going to be the witness this time. When the music plays, you bow down and worship. They don't allow it to go that far, do they? Look how they answered, or think about how they answered Nebuchadnezzar. O king, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. They didn't have a care in the world when it came to Nebuchadnezzar and his image, did they? Their trust was placed fully upon God, and they said to him, our God is able. Friends, you think about that particular statement before we consider the rest of it. Our God is able. Do we live our lives, if we are going to be convicted in doctrine, do we live our lives understanding and knowing that our God is able? We serve an all-powerful God. We serve the God of heaven. The God that found a way and that designed a way for you and I to be saved from our sins, to be saved from a devil's hell. Do we understand, truly and fully understand, that our God is able? They went on to say that our God is able to deliver us from this fiery furnace, but if not, in other words, if God chooses not to save us, we're still not bowing down to that image. We will die in that furnace. We'll never serve another God. Do we have that same type of attitude? What about Daniel? In Daniel chapter 6. You remember Daniel is entrapped, really. The presidents of the provinces, they see how well favored Daniel is, and they devise a plan to have Daniel tossed into a lion's den. What does Daniel do the minute that he hears about this new decree? He goes and he prays as his custom was. He didn't allow what the government was telling him to do at that time to keep him from worshiping and praying to his God. He continued to pray to the Father. What about the New Testament? Acts chapter 4, 18 through 20 and verse 29. You remember Peter and the other apostles are preaching the gospel and some of them are arrested, Peter in particular. Not only are they arrested, but they're beaten and they're commanded straightway not to preach in the name of Jesus. And of course, what's their answer? We ought to obey God rather than man. And they go back and they tell the congregation of Jerusalem what has happened and they, what do? They sing praises unto the Lord and they pray and they go out and preach the more boldly. They were already bold, but there in Acts chapter 4 it says they went out and preached more boldly. Speaking the words of Jesus Christ. Friends, it is a challenge, no doubt, in our pampered society, no doubt, to live a convicted life in our doctrine when it comes to the words of Christ. But friends, we must. We must be conversant with the Bible. We must be convicted in doctrine. We have to be consecrated, number three, in life. We have to be consecrated in life. Friends, in all that we do, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, Paul writing to the Philippian brethren, tells to them, says unto them, to let their conduct be worthy of the gospel. Friends, in other words, as they went about their day-to-day lives, and how they conducted themselves, how they responded to those that were around them, and what they said, the conversations that they carried on, Paul says to them, people ought to know that you're acting this way because you're different. Because you're a Christian. Friends, that's a challenge sometimes. To think about our actions and all that we do. Our words and all that we say. Where we go. Who we're with. We have to be consecrated in life. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, Paul says to them that they were to be blameless. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 for a moment. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look at verses 4 and then verses 8 and 9. Paul writes that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification. Same idea here. Consecration, sanctification, same thing. Sanctification and honor. Verses 8 and 9 say, therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Friends, the Christian life, to an extent, is about being different. Being the type of person that God would have us to be. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 17, we read, therefore come out from among them and be separate. We talked about this particular verse the other night. Be ye separate. Be separate from among them. Says the Lord, do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, chapter 7 verse 1, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, 15 and 16, Peter writes there concerning God and Jesus, be ye holy, for I am holy. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, we learn that without holiness, we shall not see the Father, we shall not see God. Friends, we must be consecrated in life. We must be separate from the world. And folks ought to be able to tell the difference. There ought to be a clear distinction between the Christian, between you and the world. Friends, if those lines get blurred, and there's no longer any clear distinction, then there's no longer any sanctification or consecration. We have to be consecrated in that way. We must be courageous in opposition. Going back to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9, we read verse 8 at the beginning of our lesson. But chapter 1 and verse 9 says this. God, speaking to Joshua, says, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Friends, I often wonder what must have been going through the minds of Joshua and Caleb in Numbers chapter 13. as they have just returned from the land, and they're standing there before the congregation of Israel. And the 10 spies have delivered their evil report, and here Caleb steals the people before Moses, chapter Numbers 13 and verse 30. And all he says of the land, he doesn't deny anything that they have said concerning the giants of the land and that we look as grasshoppers in their sight. He doesn't deny any of that. You ever notice that? Caleb and Joshua conceived those things. But I love Caleb's response. Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome. Friends, as they are standing there before some 2 to 5 million people, they're there all by themselves. And I wonder what must have been going through their minds that as Caleb, as those words fall from the lips of Caleb, and the people began to pick up stones, wanting to stone them. What must they have felt? And yet they continued to stand there, courageous in the face of opposition. Ezekiel chapter 2. Ezekiel is told point blank, Ezekiel, you go and you preach to this people, but they're not going to listen. You preach and teach what I tell you to preach and teach, but they're not going to hear you. Friends, how discouraging must that be? To understand that I'm going to go out and I'm going to preach and I'm going to teach the gospel, I'm going to live in Ezekiel. Friends, Ezekiel as a prophet must have lived to some degree a miserable life because God used him as an object lesson throughout his time of being a prophet. I can't imagine, as Ezekiel had to do, walking around with half a beard. Of having to soil himself and wear it as an example unto Israel. How humiliating that must have been. And yet it was all in preaching the gospel of God at this time. Preaching to them his gospel message of the time. And yet he did it anyway. In Matthew chapter 10. Jesus speaks concerning being courageous in the face of opposition. Beginning in verse 25, we read, it is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach in the household, on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Friends, there's nothing that this world can do to you or myself when it comes to preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ that is going to stop me from preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. My fear is not in the people of this world, in the governments of this world, but rather in the God of heaven. And again, in Acts chapter 5, this continues, doesn't it? Remember Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira, they lied unto Peter, seemingly lying unto the Holy Spirit. They fall dead, and it says that great fear came upon all the church and all the people in the area. But notice that even though that fear came upon them, it was the right type of fear. It motivated them to obey the gospel. What did the church do? In Acts 2, Acts 3, Acts 4, Acts 5, Acts 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. It continued to grow. Or actually, the entire book of Acts. What is the church doing? It's growing. Why? Because they were conversant in the Bible. They were consecrated in life. They were convicted in doctrine. And they were courageous in opposition. Friends, if we will take those things and we will apply them to ourselves, the church can grow here in San Angelo. The church can grow right here at 9th and Main. In 1 Peter chapter 3, 13 through 17, Peter talks about preaching
the gospel in the face of opposition. Well, we're familiar with 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, aren't we? Talking about there that the devil goes about seeking whom he may destroy as a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. He's talking there about those that are continuing and remain faithful in God. We're to be sober, be vigilant for that reason. That is, continue in preaching the gospel. Revelation chapter 2, and the end of verse 10 in particular. Be thou faithful unto death, you will receive the crown of life. In Romans 8, 35 to 39, again, being courageous in opposition. My friends, here's a challenge for us right here. As a Christian, we need to learn how to be concerned about souls. Notice that I said learn there. It's in our nature. We see it all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. To be concerned about myself. Not really anybody else. That's why the word agape is used concerning the husband's love for his wife. Not something that comes natural. Something that has to be learned. Something that has to be practiced. I need to learn to be concerned about souls. Rick was talking this morning about the realities of hell. But friends, when we realize the reality of hell, I think we'll learn to be more concerned about souls. In Luke 19 and verse 10, Jesus says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." And 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, Paul writes to Timothy there concerning his preaching. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, Paul says, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, Paul says, of whom I am chief. You look at Romans 10 and verse 1, as well as Romans 9, 1 through 3, and really you look at all of Romans chapter 10, talking about the preaching of the gospel and it going out. Shows their concern for souls. Back in Acts chapter 8, as that great persecution came upon all the church of Jerusalem, notice what they did. They went everywhere doing what? Preaching the word. Why? Because they were concerned about souls. James 5, chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. James writes, "Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back," look at this, look at verse 20. "Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." Friends, what other motivation do we need than that I can save someone from the fires and depths of an eternal hell? Quite simply, friends, are you up to the challenge of being a Christian? Because it's a daily challenge. It's a daily struggle that we must go through. Friends, we must be conversant with the Bible. We must be convicted in doctrine. We must be consecrated in life. We have to be courageous in opposition. And friends, we need to be concerned about souls. We have a challenge that we've been putting in our bulletin for the last 19 weeks. And I want each one of us, and again, as I stated at the beginning, I want you to take this as a personal challenge. If we have not been doing that weekly challenge, let's start right now. And you can catch up, you can talk to more than one person a week about the Lord's church. But I want you sometime this week, today's the first day of the week, you've got 7 whole days to talk to one person about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, Josh, how do I start that conversation? You know how we did it in Jamaica a couple of years ago? Now, you don't necessarily have to go and knock on the door. Maybe you're talking to someone anyway, but we would go and knock on the door. Hi, I'm Josh Romo. We're with the, and I can't remember the town we were in, but we're with the so-and-so Church of Christ this week, and we're in town wanting to study the Bible. Would you be interested in sitting down for a Bible study with us? And you know what the answers were? A simple yes or a simple no. That was it. Friends, that's all you have to do in order to spark a conversation. Would you like to study the Bible with me? Now you may, if you ask 10 people, you may get 9 no's. But somebody's going to say yes. Somebody is out there looking. They're out there wanting to study. They're out there wanting to, as a matter of fact, I don't know if I think I read this in an article. I can't remember if I read it or if I heard someone tell it. But a particular preacher, he goes to the bank and as he gets up to the window and he's talking there to the teller, he says, I've been praying, and speaking to her, he says, you know, I've been praying for somebody to study with, or that God would open a door for an opportunity for me to study with someone. Would you like to study the Bible with me? No sooner had he got those words out of his mouth than the bank teller, the young lady, began to cry and says, I've been praying that someone would study the Bible with me, that I might know it better. But friends, what if he had never asked that question? What if he had never asked that young lady to study the Bible? I'll give you one other example. As far as living Christianity. And if you desire to know more details, next time my mother-in-law is in town, please ask her. But I have my wife today, and the great in-laws that I have today because of a woman my mother-in-law used to work with. And she, now Vicki noticed that in the daily conversations as certain spiritual topics would come up, that this person over here would say, well, I feel this way. And this one over here would say, well, my preacher says this, or my pastor says that. And there was always this one lady at work in the office building there that would say, you know, the Bible says this. And that got Vicki's attention. And finally she asked this lady, where do you go to church? And she sat down and studied the Bible with Vicki, and she said, she told her where she went to worship God, and come to find out, Vicki, for a good portion of her life, had lived right across the street from the Lord's church, where it met in that particular town. Was it long before she obeyed the gospel? Simply because a woman at work refused to be silent concerning the Scripture. And she lived it before others. Friends, are we doing that? Are we up to the challenge of living the Christian life? Are we up to the challenge of being a Christian? I hope your answer is yes. And I hope that we'll take this lesson as a personal challenge today, that if we haven't been doing what's right, to do what's right. If we haven't been doing all that we can, let's do better. Let's be better. Be stronger in Christ Jesus. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our songbooks. Be ready to sing the invitation song here in just a moment. Friend, if you're here this morning having never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is, having never confessed your belief in Him, repenting of your sin, confessing Him before others, and being baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Friends, we're talking about challenges this morning. I challenge you. But if you haven't done so already, look at the Word of God, open it, and see God's plan of salvation there. Hear the Word of God, Paul says in Romans 10 and verse 17. For when faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Believe it. As we read there in Mark 16, 15 and 16, another verse that we use this morning in our test, if you will. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned or condemned. Repent. Friend, as Peter commanded those that asked, men and brethren, what shall we do in Acts chapter 2? His response was, repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And, of course, friends, be baptized. We see the eunuch doing that in Acts chapter 8.
as they're riding along in that particular chariot, he asks Philip, as Philip is preaching to him the gospel of Jesus, he says, "See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And they both went down into the water. When they came up out, the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Friends, would you rejoice this morning as the eunuch did? Would you be baptized, immersed in water? See, here is water. What's hindering you from being baptized? Why not this morning put Christ on in baptism? Friend, it may be that you're here having obeyed the gospel at some point in your life, but you haven't been living the Christian life. You haven't been up to the challenge. God issues it again this morning. Are you up to the challenge of living the Christian life? Friends, will you accept the invitation? Will you come to Him? If you have a need, come right now while we stand and while we sing.